This is the Voice of America broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Today, the landing and recovery of the spacecraft Yankee Clipper in the mid-Pacific Ocean. Splashdown is set for 20 hours 58 GMT in about 57 minutes from now. Astronauts Pete Conrad, Richard Gordon, and Alan Bean will land at a point some 640 kilometers southeast of Samoa. Apollo 12 is now 244 hours and 8 minutes into its mission. The spacecraft has just separated from its service modules just a few seconds ago, just before re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. That will come in about 14 minutes from now, entry interface at 122,000 meters above the Earth. At the time of re-entry, the Apollo 12 spacecraft will be traveling at a speed of some 39,400 kilometers per hour. The aircraft carrier USS Hornet is standing by on the mid-Pacific landing point to pick up the Apollo 12 astronauts and their spacecraft. But now, for our first report on Apollo 12's landing preparations, let's call in correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas.
We just got confirmation of that separation less than 2 minutes ago. Here's Mission Control.
The onboard computer still in program 62. When program 63 comes up on the computer, we will try to get an over-the-shoulder look at range to go to splash and velocity rates. We'll stand by and continue to monitor that display.
That's John McLeish, the voice of Mission Control, during this reentry. Jerry Griffin, the chief flight director, the prime flight director, is in his position. And we will hear one of the astronauts acting as capsule communicator talking with the spacecraft as it re-enters the atmosphere and begins to hit the outer residue of the atmosphere 12 minutes and 4 seconds from now. The weather in the Pacific, scattered clouds at 800 feet, broken clouds again at 1,500 feet, and a high layer above that. The wind is east-southeast at 15 knots. There are 3-foot waves with 7 to 10 foot swells. The temperature in the air is 80 degrees Fahrenheit. The water temperature is 85, quite warm and comfortable. There is just the slightest chance of showers in the area. There were some reports of scattered showers. Low clouds, if the spacecraft does descend through this scattered low cloud area, we may have some trouble, those of you watching on television, seeing that until it nears the water. We're waiting for return to Earth by Apollo 12, 11 minutes, 15 seconds from now, and we'll report more to you from Houston.
From the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington, from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, and from the USS Hornet in the mid-Pacific, the Voice of America is bringing you full coverage of the landing and recovery of Apollo 12. Splashdown at 20 hours 58 GMT, now 11 minutes from now. I am William McCrory, reporting from our anchor desk in Washington. I'll be joined by my colleague Norman Guerin and by two guest experts from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, John Hammersmith, Senior Systems Engineer, and William Land, Apollo Missions Engineer. From the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, you'll be hearing again the reports of correspondent Rhett Turner. And from the USS Hornet in the mid-Pacific Ocean, you will hear reports from pool correspondent Bill Lindsay. Norm Guerin, any first reports from the recovery ship?
Bill Lindsay, the pool reporter aboard the Hornet, just reported that the recovery planes have been deployed. Swim 1, the helicopter carrying the primary swim team, hovers about 18 kilometers uprange, and Swim 2, with backup frogmen, is about 18 kilometers downrange, both 27 kilometers north of the prescribed track of the spacecraft when they get into final position, so that they'll not collide with Yankee Clipper when it parachutes into the sea. After splashdown, all three helicopters will converge at the splashdown area. Bill Lindsay also reported that the seas have been a little of concern here because they're a little rougher than the frogmen like to work in, but there is no grave problem at this time. And while we're waiting for further reports from Apollo Mission Control and the USS Hornet, here are the broadcast bands for the VOA's worldwide coverage of the landing and recovery of Apollo 12. Listeners in Europe should tune to the 19, 25, 31, 41, 49, and 75-meter band shortwave. And on 251 meters and 379 meters medium wave. In Latin America, the 16 and 19 meter bands. We are broadcasting to Africa on the 11, 16, 19, and 41 meter bands. To the Middle East on the 49 meter band, short wave, and on 238 meters medium wave. This broadcast can be heard in South Asia on the 16, 19, 25, 41, and 49 meter bands. In East Asia and the Pacific, the 13, 16, 19, 25, 31, 41, 49, and 75 meter bands short wave. Those are the broadcast bands for the Voice of America's live coverage of the landing and recovery of Apollo 12.
And that spacecraft is nearing the point of reentry when it will be traveling some 39,000 kilometers per hour. Let's go back to Houston and correspondent Rhett Turner.
Here in Houston, we're seeing the first television picture coming from the carrier Hornet, which is standing by right there southeast of Samoa, some 640 kilometers, as Bill McCrory reported to you. Through satellite transmissions, we are able to watch, and so are many of you around the world with us as we watch Apollo 12 splash back to Earth. The carrier is ready and waiting. The swimmers are in the air in their helicopters. Air Boss is ready. And here's mission control.
2,813 feet per second, range to go 3,641 nautical miles.
We're going to get continuous fast time hacks there from John McLeish. Paul Weitz is the capsule communicator. Jerry Griffin, the prime flight director, on tap. The spacecraft will pick up to some 3,900 kilometers per hour speed, about 39,600 kilometers per hour speed at the time it hits the outer parts of the atmosphere.
Entering the Earth's atmosphere, we show a velocity of 33,190 feet per second, range to go of 3,476 nautical miles.
Still picking up speed. Right now it's going 36,000 kilometers per hour. In other words,
mission control reports 12 is looking very good. Very small reaction control system usage at this time. We're at 244 hours, 16 minutes now to the flight of Apollo 12.
The spacecraft is on its own, on its internal battery supply, the service propulsion rocket, and the service module providing the extra electrical system through the fuel cells, now disconnected. Just that cone-shaped vehicle with the reentry heat shield attached is now headed toward its beginning interface with the atmosphere of the Earth 5 minutes from now.
Entry now, we show a velocity reading of 33,704 feet per second, range to go of 3,223 nautical miles.
5 minutes, 45 seconds from now until the spacecraft hits the top of the atmosphere, 400,000 feet up. Landing about 19 and a half minutes from now, according to the countdown clock in mission control. 5.5 minutes. Spacecraft with the blunt end facing forward, the blunt part of this bell-shaped craft. Not completely bluntly forward, because as Apollo spacecraft re-enter the atmosphere, they come at a slight angle and take advantage of the center of gravity being off the center slightly, so that by rotating the craft slightly, they may control the re-entry and actually get
less
some lift.
5 minutes to go until entry. We show a velocity now of 34,217 feet per second. Range to go to splash of 2,934 nautical miles. We're at 244 hours, 17 minutes now into the flight of Apollo 12.
Coming through that slot in the sky, right on schedule, a mid-course maneuver, a tiny rocket burn earlier today, touched up the entry, only 5 seconds, and a delta velocity or a change in velocity of only 2.4 feet per second, less than 1 meter per second, putting Apollo 12...
Our officer confirms that we're looking good from his vantage point. We now show a velocity reading of 34,577 feet per second, a range to go to splash of 2,729 nautical miles.
Mission Control giving us these moment-by-moment countdown cues. 3 minutes, 55 seconds again until entering the atmosphere. About 17 minutes until landing. Right on target at this point, the retro officer, as you heard John McLeish say, says that things look good. That means that they are going down this very narrow path.
We've lost data with the Guam tracking station. We, however, will retain voice communications capability through an Araya aircraft. As we lost data, we read a velocity of 34,780 feet per second and a range to go of 2,617 nautical miles.
Coming closer, just 3 minutes now, 3 minutes, 8 seconds. On the carrier Hornet, slight breeze. The TV pictures can show sailors in their white suits blowing in the breeze on the deck of the aircraft carrier Hornet. Here's a call from Paul Weitz. Communication was rather unintelligible. I couldn't quite understand it. Weitz made a call to the spacecraft, now on its short-range transmitter. That was Pete Conrad calling off the moon set, the moon going down behind the Earth. From his view, this is part of the tracking of the spacecraft. They know when the moon and the sun will rise and fall to the spacecraft view. This helps them figure precisely where that spacecraft happens to be. All of this information in the computer.
Time of entry, capsule communicator Paul Weitz has communicated with 12 through the Araya aircraft via VHF. We're at 244 hours, 20 minutes now to the flight of Apollo 12.
The communications mode being used now, a very high frequency, or VHF, transmitter link from space through the Araya, or range-instrumented aircraft, overhead.
Half away now from time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere.
Or the VHF could be communicating directly with the ship, which is the actual control center. Then this relayed by satellite back to here in Houston. A minute, 11 seconds until entry into the atmosphere. Spacecraft moving right on target down this imaginary cone. A small hole in the sky which begins...
A minute away now from entry. The period of blackout should begin 19 seconds after we enter the Earth's atmosphere. We'll stand by and continue to monitor, and this is Apollo Control, Houston.
45 seconds until entry interface, EI, entry interface, the outer residue of the Earth's atmosphere, 400,000 feet approximately above the Earth. That's the point at which, for mathematical purposes, some figure has to be established. 25 seconds till entry interface. It takes 18 seconds for the blackout to begin. After the atmosphere begins to build up a plasma around the spacecraft. 7 seconds, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mark, and Apollo 12 is on its way.
Atmosphere at this time.
Blackout should begin in 10
seconds. 400,000 feet.
Houston, coming up on blackout, we'll see you at 3:28.
Blackout should begin. Mark. I believe we got a loss of signal.
Should have begun its blackout some 7 seconds ago.
At this point, the first feel of gravity, 0.05G right now. 1 minute from now, the maximum forces of gravity will exert themselves upon the spacecraft, 6 times that of normal Earth's gravity, 6 Gs.
We had blackout for some 2.5 more minutes from this time. We now show a ground elapsed time of 244 hours, 23 minutes into the flight of Apollo 12.
minutes.
The mission control clock's continuing to count into this very precarious and important reentry portion. The spacecraft right on target, performing properly. Everything right to the second, as expected. Entry, 1 minute and 19 seconds old. At 123, the maximum forces of gravity right now. This is when the heat, the flame is building up to its maximum portion outside the spacecraft, this plasma which prevents transmissions.
We copied the Hornet is heading south 12 knots for its terminal position for splash, which would be 5.25 nautical miles north of our target point.
Spacecraft moves some 1,250 nautical miles across the surface of the Earth during the entry, which lasts about 13 minutes 50 seconds. The point at which the spacecraft opens its main parachutes from there on down can't be calculated too accurately because, of course, winds may vary, and when the spacecraft is on its main parachutes, there are many factors to be considered.
Houston, recovery reports the Hornet has a radar contact on Apollo 12.
Hornet has radar contact. Apollo 12 continuing its entry to Earth. The blackout will end in about a minute from now. We should be picking them up about 3 minutes 28 into the descent to the surface. If communications are good, at the end of blackout, we would pick up that VHF transmitter again from onboard the spacecraft.
We're less than 30 seconds away from the time when the blackout period should be ended. Mission Control may try to get the Yankee Clipper between the end blackout and drogue deploy, which occurs at some 23,000 feet, to get readings off of the computer display keyboard. But its current plan is not to attempt to contact the Yankee Clipper after drogues have been deployed.
12, Houston, over.
End of blackout. We should have end of the blackout now. A call from Paul Weitz. Let's see if we can hear a transmission from Apollo 12. About another 5 minutes before drogue chute deployment. 4 minutes approximately. Paul Weitz made a call to Apollo 12. There was no answer. The VHF communications may not be tuned in yet. All eyes on the carrier Hornet looking in the direction of entry, looking to the west on a course of 92 degrees. There's the sound of the spacecraft signal.
Hello, Apollo 12, Houston, over.
Another call to the spacecraft. Periodically, Paul.
Apollo Control, Houston, a report from the Hornet indicates that that radar contact showed a range of 103 nautical miles and a bearing of 261 degrees.
Well, reading it loud and clear now.
Okay, it's right on the point.
Roger, we concur, Pete.
There's Paul Weitz,
Pete,
talking
Conrad
to Pete Conrad.
Right on the money.
Conrad, right on the money. Tracking very smooth.
The first
time I got a shower at 6G. Pete Conrad says that's the first time. The first time I got a shot of 6G, it pulled all the water out of the tunnel. So he got a shower.
Roger, 12.
First time he's gotten a shower at 6 G's. The moisture on the tunnel flew back into the spacecraft, and Pete says he got a little wet. We expect to hear from Bill Lindsay on the carrier, on the aircraft carrier Hornet. When they get a sighting, we'll, of course, switch to him.
Very good voice reception through Araya.
That was Dick Gordon saying about 6 miles to go on my mark. We're getting very clear communications from the air this time through the range instrumented aircraft. This is a C-130, I believe, orbiting overhead. No, slightly different type of aircraft.
Hornet advises radar contact now with a range of 69 nautical miles. 69 nautical miles.
I believe what Dick Gordon would have reported was not 6, but it must have been 60-something miles there. It's a little difficult
with an altitude of 121,000 feet.
We should have drogue chute deployment in one more minute.
We're about a minute and a half away now from time of drogue deploy. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
That drogue chute deployment now 1 minute and 10 seconds away. It only takes about 48 seconds from the time the drogue chute pops out until the main parachutes
Apollo
should
Control,
come out.
Houston.
Houston, we have radar and S-band contacts on you.
Roger.
Pete Conrad says roger, affirming that they have radar and S-band contact on him. The spacecraft, 1 minute away, less than a minute away, until drogue chute deploy. Everyone on the carrier Hornet watching very, very carefully. The scattered clouds still 800 to 1,000 feet up. Great patches of blue showing. The odds are good. The odds are better than 50-50 that they'll be able to see that Apollo 12 on its main chutes from a fairly high altitude. Looks like a beautiful, warm, rather balmy day there in the South Pacific.
We should be getting drogue chute deployment right now. We're standing by.
Drogue chute deployment. Now back to Bill McCrory in Washington.
We are continuing our coverage, the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 12, very near landing, less than 6 minutes away. We're standing by with the downrange reports. Norm Guerin, anything from the USS Hornet?
Bill Lindsay reported a few moments ago that visibility is about 10 miles, excellent for sighting conditions, and that the Hornet is moving south directly toward the site, will hold about 5 miles north of the site at time of splashdown, will then proceed directly to the landing site, but will stay about a mile upwind from the capsule, this to maintain the quarantine and to give helicopters room to maneuver in the recovery.
We should have main chute deployment. That's at a height of some 10,500 feet or 3,200 meters right now. Very soon, we hope we will have visual sighting from aboard the USS Hornet. So far, no sighting. Let's go back to Apollo Mission Control for direct reports from the spacecraft.
Al Bean reports three main chutes have deployed.
And we're at 8,000 feet on the way down in great shape.
Well, Houston, give us your lat long, please.
Pete Conrad says we're all okay, main chute's just fine. I'll try to interpolate his comments. Communications. I have a visual, says Pete Conrad. He can see the carrier, apparently.
Recovery, this is recovery. I am 3 miles north on the 300 radio, 3 miles. I have a visual.
That's one of the recovery aircraft. One of the recovery aircraft has a visual sighting of the spacecraft.
Where are
you? Up to that territory.
We're hearing mixed in with the voices of Pete Conrad, Mission Control, also what is called the Air Boss, the aircraft in charge of the whole recovery operation, also the recovery helicopters. 5,500 feet now, according to the recovery helicopter. Let's go downrange.
There has been a visible sighting of Apollo 12. Now to pool reporter Bill Lindsay aboard the USS Hornet.
In the sky, almost directly ahead. Now the carrier Hornet turns and is heading directly for the command module. Bill Strawn, what would you estimate that altitude? What range would you estimate?
I'd estimate it at about 3 miles and possibly 8,000 feet right at the moment, Bill.
A splashdown can't be any more perfect than this one.
No, it couldn't.
We see what appears to be all three of the giant 83-foot orange and white parachutes just now disappearing into the lowest lying layer of clouds at an altitude I would estimate maybe 1,200, 1,500 feet, Bill?
Somewhere around that altitude.
It will take a few seconds for the astronauts to emerge from the bottom. We're waiting now for word that they are all right. The command module was clearly visible directly ahead in the path of the Hornet, which continues to close, not as fast as had been originally intended, because it was believed we would be at a range of about 5 miles, and the speed was to have been increased considerably, in fact, almost double, to get to the recovery point. Still in the clouds is the Apollo 12 command module, the Yankee Clipper. The ship tells us it's at an altitude of 3,500. And those clouds probably come down to, as we said, about 12 to 1,500. There it is. The command module has again reappeared. I see at least two. Can you see the third parachute, Lieutenant Bill?
Yes, I can. There is three good chutes on the module.
Now all three chutes are very, very visible. The altitude is must be about 1,000 feet. It will descend at about 22 miles an hour, which is just about the normal descent for a parachute. The impact at splashdown will be just about like jumping from a third-story window, but most of it will be absorbed by the water itself and by the collapsible portion of the spacecraft on which it will land. The Hornet is now turned so that the command module is slightly off our port bow, and this is exactly the way the commander of the Hornet, Captain C.J. Cyberlick, wants it to be. He wants to be about 1 mile, at least, away from splashdown point, so the recovery helicopters will have plenty of room to work. The command module is now very close to the water, moving down. We're waiting for the exact splashdown point. There it is, splashdown. Splashdown has occurred just off our starboard bow, and it looks, by my watch, to be about 30 seconds later than the planned point. 3.1 miles away, 2.1 miles.
The module went into stable 2.
The spacecraft is about 3.1 miles away, and it is in stable 2 position at this time. That means that it is tipped over. The spacecraft is built to land either in a stable 1 or a stable 2 position, and it really doesn't matter. Stable 1 is in the upright position. Stable 2 means that the forward hatch is slightly underwater. When this happens, the astronauts themselves activate three inflatable bags which are stowed in the forward compartment. There is an air compressor aboard which then fills these three inflatable bags, and depending upon the wind and the waves, the spacecraft should right itself within 5 to 15 minutes. And with the stiff breezes of up to 20 knots today, it probably will take a shorter time. The first helicopter is on the splashdown scene. It is a little bit too far for us to pick to see the number, but it should be recovery helicopter. Recovery helicopter is on the scene. Recovery helicopter will be relaying information back to the NASA headquarters and the ship headquarters here. A report from Airbus, Bill?
Yes.
Airbus is the airborne commander who will regulate traffic over the command module. There are at least four helicopters who must be in the area, and Airbus will control them to make sure that they keep the proper separation. The command module remains in a stable 2 position, but should be righting itself very shortly. It helps the buoyancy bags if the waves can help to tip over the command module back to an upright position. The astronauts, by the way, have practiced emerging from the command module if it should stay in a stable two position. In the Gulf of Mexico, they have actually crawled out through the forward hatch while it was underwater. In such a situation, which becomes a little bit risky, they must wait until the command module partially fills with water and then dive out. As an alternative, in case the spacecraft does not right itself, the helicopters are equipped with a winch and a hook, and a swimmer can be dropped into the water, hook on to a special attachment on the top of the module, and one of the helicopters can then pull the command module into an upright position. Recovery 1 helicopter has now been joined at the scene by the photo helicopter. This photo helicopter carries 4 photographers who work for NASA and for the Navy. Incidentally, this recovery will be covered today by at least 18 cameras out there. Some of them are automatically operated from outside the recovery helicopter, which will be hovering directly overhead. One of the problems that adds to the recovery difficulties from a stable two position is the fact that through various vents and openings, the command module can take on about 200 gallons of water inside various filters, and that will add about 1 ton of weight to that which must be reported back aboard the ship. Recovery helicopter just reports that the command module is now gradually uprighting itself. The carrier Hornet now is moving in closer. We will be upwind, that is, to the east of the command module, at a range of about 1 mile. We are now looking around, trying to spot the arrival of the first swim helicopter. The sequence of events will be this. The first swim helicopter on the scene will begin to deploy its swimmers. There are 3 swimmers aboard each swim helicopter. The first man in will drop a sea anchor. The sea anchor will slow the drift of the command module. After the anchor is attached, 2 other swimmers will enter the water with an inflatable collar. The flotation collar will then be attached by all 3 swimmers to the command module, and then a raft will be dropped. It will be attached to the collar. This, of course, is the same procedure followed in all of the Apollo series, familiar to all Americans. After the collar and the first raft is attached, a second raft will be dropped. 2 of the swimmers will go upwind. Word now comes, the command module is now in the stable one uprighting position, and by my watch, that took just about 6 minutes. Recovery 1 helicopter just reports 15 knot winds in the recovery area. The sea state earlier had been described as waves of 3 feet and swells of 7 feet, and that means a total of 10-foot seas, which could slow down the work of the UDT swimmers. The reason that neither of the swim helicopters has arrived on the scene yet is because they were deployed, as I said, more than 11 miles up and down range from the carrier. And since the command module came down almost dead ahead, those helicopters had a distance to come. They travel about 2 miles a minute. And as I discuss that, I see Swim 1 is approaching from uprange. The Swim 1 helicopter is approaching from uprange and now is about a mile from the command module. The recovery helicopter is actually the one that will make the pickup here today. The swim helicopters supply the Navy UDT teams. The recovery helicopter is flown, by the way, by Navy Commander Warren Ott of St. Louis. His co-pilot is Lieutenant Junior Grade Glenn Casey of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the crewmen who will handle that net that will bring the astronauts aboard are Chief Ken Cunningham of Tiff City, Arizona, rather Missouri, and Abraham Dominguez of Tombstone, Arizona. Swim 1 is being followed to the scene, I believe, by Swim 2. It would appear, then, that the recovery today will be made by the Swim 1 team. Swim 1 has now moved in to about an altitude of 20 feet off the water, is almost over the command module at this point. Recovery helicopter has moved off to the side to give it room. We can see clearly the inflatable bags on the top of the command module, which is now righted in the water. Swim 1 helicopter is almost over the command module and dropping down now to an altitude of about 10 feet from which it will drop the sea anchor man. The Command module is having a little rough time. The astronauts may be feeling a little sick out there because the command module is bobbing back and forth at an angle of about 20 degrees because of these stiff waves. The first man into the water should be photographer's mate William Pozzi of Linwood, California, who will attach an anchor to that drifting module. Swim helicopter is now almost directly over the command module. We're waiting for the first swimmer to enter the water. The first pass is usually made very slowly by the swim helicopters while they make sure that they are quite familiar with the weather conditions, with the wind conditions at that very low altitude of just 10 feet. The spacecraft continues to bob rather wildly on the surface. The recovery helicopter has now swung around and is going back into position upwind about 100 yards. Lieutenant Bill Swan, have we deployed the first swimmer yet?
No, swim one is just now starting his approach to drop the sea anchor swimmer.
About how long a time lapse do you expect between dropping the three swimmers?
I expect it'll be done in about 5 minutes.
Okay. We just received word from NASA headquarters that Swim 1's first run is just now beginning. It had apparently, it's hard to judge the distance at this point, it apparently was off to the side of the command module and now is moving in. And the Hornet is now beginning to move past the command module. We seem to have picked up speed and we're heading a little bit further south, apparently to swing around. Swim 1 helicopter now appears to be directly over the command module. The first sea anchor swimmer actually will be dropped a little bit downwind so that the drift of the ocean will carry the command module toward him. If the command module is drifting at a speed of 3 or 4 knots or even faster in winds and seas like this, it's physically impossible for a swimmer dropped upwind to swim fast enough to catch it. So the sea anchor man will be dropped downwind and in effect will allow the command module to come to him. The sea anchor that he will attach is actually a parachute about 10 feet in diameter with a hole at the apex. It's attached to a special ring on the hatch side of the command module and extends out about 30 or 40 feet. It is just exactly what its name implies. It is a drifting anchor which cuts the movement of the command module by just about 50%. It is about 50% effective in reducing the drift. Today, that will be very important. And contingency plans for today, because of these high winds, mention the possibility that a second sea anchor may be dropped. With the seas running about a total of 10 feet, it's going to be quite possible that the swimmers will have a rough time attaching the collar to the command module and also assisting the astronauts out and keeping the command module stable while they get into the raft and then into the net. The gusty winds also make it much more difficult for the helicopters to hover in a stable position over the command module and over the rafts, both to pass down equipment to the swimmers and also to recover the astronauts. We still have no word that the first swimmer has gone into the water.
Yes, Bill, the first swimmer is in the water. Swim one is beginning his approach to drop the two swimmers with the flotation collar.
Well, your eyes are better than mine, or you must have heard that over the radio, because I was watching intently and couldn't see that first swimmer. Looking now, I can see that he is working at the command module. We're waiting for word that he has attached the sea anchor. When we get that word, then Swim 1 will move back in for its second run. The Swim 1 helicopter is piloted by Lieutenant William Sherrod of Imolaki, Florida. His co-pilot, Lieutenant Larry Leibarger of Anchorage, Alaska. Two more swimmers are down. Swim 1 has just moved back in and deployed the second set of swimmers. They carry the large flotation collar, which will be attached all the way around the command module for stability and as a work platform and not for any buoyancy. The spacecraft itself floats alone. But the large collar gives the astronauts something to step onto, and it also reduces that bobbing and weaving back and forth. The two swimmers who just entered the water are Lieutenant J.G. William Robertson of Hampton, Virginia, and sonar technician Arles Nash of Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. The first step in the application of that collar is for the swimmers to actually push the raft over to the command module. The helicopter tries to drop the raft upwind so that the natural wave action will help the swimmers in that task. Once the floating package containing that heavy raft is at the command module, the swimmers then deploy what they call a bungee cord. A bungee cord is a large elastic cord, which goes all the way around the command module above the water. It carries the flotation collar collapsed on rings. And as the collar is spread around, it is then inflated. Interestingly enough, the module sits actually on a steel wire ring under the net, and the net itself, rather the collar itself, is attached to the command module at only one point. Later on, some security straps are added underneath, but the collar itself just surrounds the module and prevents it from drifting. The late report from the photo helicopter pilot who is narrating what's going on directly over the module is that the sea anchor seems to be holding well and that the flotation collar is now being deployed with no difficulty. There was some definite concern expressed by the swimmers this morning about the effectiveness of one sea anchor. But there also was a difficulty because there is only one ring on which to attach sea anchors. And so the discussion was that if a second anchor was necessary, it would simply be attached to the same line that holds the first. Photo helicopter pilot just reports the flotation collar is now about three quarters deployed and everything is working well. The command module now is off the port, rather the starboard beam of the Hornet. The carrier has steamed on south and now is beginning to turn slightly to the west. So the helicopters are to the north of us. And coming under one of the largest cloud covers that is in this Pacific sky today. Helicopter pilot reports the swimmers are having no apparent difficulty because of the choppy seas or the wind. And now the crowd is beginning to move back to the stern, where we had at one point about 400 or 500 sailors in white on the bow of the carrier. We now have everybody racing to the stern here aboard the carrier Hornet. Once the swimmers complete the installation of the flotation collar, which should come very shortly, they will then signal they're ready for their first raft. They're ready for their first raft. NASA headquarters reports that the photo pilot reports the flotation collar is now all the way around the command module. The next step will be inflation. During a practice here just the other day, one of the final rehearsals, for the first time, the swimmers had difficulty inflating one of the collars, and they had to call for a second one. And with the typical thoroughness involved in such a project by both the Navy and NASA, there was not just one extra flotation collar available in the helicopters out there today, but there are six. They can only possibly use one, but there are six right on hand. And while they will use only two rafts today, there are seven rafts in the helicopters in case trouble develops with one of them. NASA and the Navy has provided at least two and sometimes three backup systems or contingency plans in case anything goes wrong. The carrier Hornet now is swinging in a wide arc to come back closer to the command module. We're trying to get a distance from the ship to the module right now. Hovering just about 40 feet away from the module are recovery helicopter one, which stands by just patiently waiting until all the swimmer preparations are completed. Also hovering very close to the command module is the swim one helicopter whose team is being deployed today. One added hazard to recovery of Apollo astronauts in this section of the Pacific is the possible presence in the area of sharks. In fact, during several of the rehearsals, we have seen sharks. during one of the dress rehearsals when the command module was right alongside the Hornet, and it was necessary for the swimmers to be in the water to attach the various hooks. One shark about 6 or 7 feet long was spotted right alongside the ship, about 100 yards from the spot where the swimmers were working and heading in their direction. The swimmers themselves seem the most unconcerned about the possibility of shark interference. The Navy provides, usually, a whaleboat with a crew of 6 and a marine rifleman. And the rifleman's job is to act as a sort of shark guard. The swimmers report the flotation collar now is inflated. Everything appears to be satisfactory. The flotation collar now is completed. Next will come a thumbs-up signal from one of the swimmers to the helicopter, and that will mean a raft should be dropped. What is called raft number 1, it will be attached to the flotation collar around the module. And that is the raft into which the astronauts will step when they emerge. I've said nothing yet about the quarantine procedures in effect for today. NASA people admit there are some changes, but they say they are just as severe and restrictive as those for Apollo 11. They still are, of course, fearful of any moon contamination. And the use of 2 rafts is part of the procedure required. The raft is now in the water. The raft is now in the water beside the command module. It's dropped in a large floatable package. Word from the photo recovery helicopter that the command module now appears to be in a much more stable position. I have a hunch, Lieutenant Bill Strawn, that one of the maneuvers the captain is performing now is trying to get the carrier into a position where it might put the module more in our lee and take some of the wind away.
That's correct, Bill.
We would then be east, probably east-southeast of the module.
Correct.
What range do you estimate?
Correspondent Bill Lindsay aboard the USS Hornet describing the landing of the Apollo 12, the voice of America's worldwide coverage of the landing and recovery of the ship. The spacecraft splashed down at 20 hours 58 Greenwich Mean Time, about 20 minutes ago. The three astronauts, Pete Conrad, Richard Gordon, and Alan Bean, are safely aboard the spacecraft. They have not yet come out. At the moment, they are awaiting the deployment of the first raft. They will come out then, the three astronauts, into this raft before being brought up in a basket-type net aboard the helicopter, then from the helicopter aboard the ship, once on the ship down to what we call the mobile quarantine facility, that trailer-like living quarter that they will be using for the next 3 days as they go by ship, by aircraft, and by truck back to the manned spacecraft center in Houston. But now let's return to Bill Lindsay aboard the USS Hornet.
The raft, the second raft, is now in the water upwind from the command module. This raft will be kept at the end of a tether, which can be as long as 70 feet. Because of the decontamination requirements, this raft will be kept away from the command module while the astronauts it's going to be used for handling the decontamination equipment required to give the astronauts their first arrival, their first greetings back here on Earth. Once the second raft is inflated, the decontamination swimmer, the man who is in charge of that particular procedure, will be dropped into the second raft, and then his equipment will be lowered to him. Today, the decontamination swimmer is Lieutenant Ernest Janke of Greenwich, Connecticut. The lieutenant's equipment consists of what looks to be like a fire extinguisher containing betadine, which is a chemical decontaminant. He also has a mop-type glove with which he will apply the decontaminant, and he has a special package containing 3 flight suits and 3 special respirators. One of these respirators filters the air that is inhaled, and that respirator will be worn by Lieutenant Janke. I'm sorry, there are 4 respirators because there are 3 others that filter the exhalation, and these will be worn by the astronauts. Unlike the Apollo 12 astronauts, or Apollo 11 astronauts, those of Apollo 12 will not wear the biological isolation garments. Instead, they will emerge from the Janke Clipper wearing only a normal flight suit and the special respirator. The only man who will come in contact with the astronauts is the decontamination swimmer, Lieutenant Janke. The other astronauts are warned to stand clear or face the possibility of going into extended isolation along with the astronauts. At this point, the carrier is turning back toward the command module, and we now have a report that both rafts are inflated. Raft number two is 70 feet upwind from the command module. The next step should be dropping Lieutenant Jenke, the decon swimmer. We can see one swimmer now at the command module standing on the flotation collar. The other two swimmers have gone upwind to raft number two. The decontamination swimmer will come out of the recovery helicopter, which also carries Dr. Clarence Jernigan, the NASA doctor. Dr. Jernigan is prepared to jump if there should be some illness among the astronauts. Otherwise, he will await their arrival in the helicopter. And we have not really had any word since the beginning about the condition of Pete Conrad, Dick Gordon, and Alan Bean. Recovery helicopter has now moved away from the command module toward raft number two, preparing to drop the decon swimmer at that spot. He's in the water. The decon swimmer is in the water almost right beside the second raft. He will not signal that he is ready for the equipment to be lowered until he is inside the raft and settled. The decon swimmer is reported in good condition. Photo helicopter says he's on his way toward the raft and should be there momentarily. The atmosphere here aboard the Hornet has subsided somewhat. There was a great deal of shouting and yelling when the parachutes were first spotted, and then there was a lot of running around as the crew began getting into position. But now things have quieted down, and everyone is waiting patiently for the arrival of the astronauts, which should be in about 30 minutes here aboard the Hornet. We are waiting to see if we can catch the signal from the decon swimmer that he is ready for his equipment. The recovery helicopter will go in over raft number two, which is upwind, at an altitude of about 40 feet, and will hover there. And then in the special rope net that will be used to bring the astronauts up, the decontamination equipment and packages will be lowered. The Hornet again is coming about and is now heading in such a position, it would appear, to bring the command module up along the port side. And that would put her in our lee and would help to cut down the wave action that is now sometimes bothering the swimmers. The command module has quite a schedule ahead of it once it's safely retrieved and back aboard the carrier. Shortly after it returns to the United States and is subjected to a complete examination, it will then begin a tour of all 50 states in the Union. NASA officials tell us that the module will visit all 50 state capitals, staying about 1 week in each, giving people a chance to see it. They hope to start in California, where the module will be tested, about the 1st of December. This tour, if present plans are carried out, will also include a sample of moon rocks, which will accompany the capsule. The tour, of course, will take just about a year to complete. The display of Apollo 11 has command module has never been quite that extensive. Word from the ship's headquarters that a whaleboat will be launched shortly. There was some question earlier today whether a whaleboat would be put into the water because of the seas, but now the word comes from the captain, a boat will be launched. This boat originally was intended today to participate in two of the secondary missions. They were the recovery of the main parachutes from the spacecraft and also the apex or apex cover or the forward heat shield. That heat shield was jettisoned at about an altitude of 24,000 feet and should have come down very close to where the command module did. But at that particular point, everybody was so interested watching for the command module that nobody that I know of took much time to look for the apex cover. But the catch in these secondary missions is that if the heat shield and the main chutes of the command module are not retrieved very shortly, they sink. These large parachutes very quickly absorb water and are carried to the bottom. Each of the helicopters involved in the recovery carries several grappling hooks on the end of a line attached to a one-man raft. And if it is possible, they drop the grappling hook into the parachutes, tangle them up, inflate the raft and throw it over the side, and then it's possible for the whaleboat to come along later and pick up these valuable things for the NASA engineers and scientists to go over. Lieutenant Bill Strawn, what's that transmission from NASA headquarters?
Photo 1 reports that there is a large burned area near the area of the hatch. No danger involved. It's just what happens. It appeared that way last time on Apollo 11, too.
That's right. In past experience, one side of the command module usually is burned black, and part of that mylar covering is usually burned up. We are waiting for some official confirmation about the distance and the time on splashdown today. NASA and the Navy both say that they are not out to set any records, especially as speed goes, that safety is first. We are just advised that splashdown tentatively was 3.1 miles from the Hornet. Splashdown 3.1 miles, which would make it very close to a record. Actually, the closest is Apollo 8, which is listed just as 2 to 3 miles. Apollo 11, because of that last-minute change in the recovery area, it was moved about 250 miles downrange because of bad weather, was 15 miles. The Billy Pugh raft is now being lowered. Billy Pugh raft is now being lowered with the decontamination equipment down to Lieutenant Ernest Janke in raft number 2. The decon equipment is being lowered from the recovery helicopter. It's the same raft that will be used to recover the astronauts very shortly. And now as the ship has turned position, once again, the crew has moved up to the bow here aboard the carrier Hornet. It would appear that the decon equipment now is inside the raft, and it will be unloaded. This, again, is a tricky operation. Several times during practice, it became a little bit hard for the helicopter to remain in a stable position while the various packages were pulled out of the net. During one practice, the net was just detached and left in the raft, and the helicopter then substituted a second one it had on standby to retrieve the astronauts. But it appears everything is going all right today. I think that was Lieutenant Janke just signaling there, he and the other swimmer, that they're clear, and it's hard from this distance to see, but it looks like the net is now going back up. The word from the ship is the whaleboat just has been deployed and is now en route to take up a position about 150 yards away from the command module. There are two swimmers now deployed at raft 1 alongside the command module, and one swimmer and the decon man, Lieutenant Janke, are now approaching the command module in raft number 2. It will be attached alongside the command module opposite raft number 1. Lieutenant Janke is the man who will step up onto that flotation collar, wrap on the hatch, and ask the astronauts to open up. Then he will pass through the package containing their spacesuits and respirators, close the hatch, and wait until they have donned the clothing and the respirators. All this time, he will be wearing his own special respirator. The swimmers will take up positions in the water away from the raft itself to act as a safety backup. One of the swimmers will also be in the other raft. The swimmers also must change their scuba gear now. As an added precaution, they wear full scuba outfits, including wetsuits, and they also are on scuba tanks. It's during this current period that they change these tanks to give them a fresh supply. Should they be caught changing their tanks and breathing free air when the astronauts open the hatch, the doctors have warned that they too face the danger of decontamination, rather the danger of contamination, and would be put into isolation along with the astronauts. There actually are two mobile quarantine facilities aboard the carrier, one for the Apollo 12 crew themselves, the other a backup facility, now slated to be used for Apollo 13. But should any group of swimmers become contaminated,